1 Timothy 6 for our initial considerations together. And the phrase, as you may remember from yesterday, is godliness and contentment. We've had godliness and relationships yesterday, godliness and service before that, godliness in our private and public life, as well as beginning with the mystery of godliness. We want to reach 1 Timothy 6 in our considerations. I'd like to ask if someone could read
verses 1 Timothy 6, 3 through 5, and then someone else continue on and read verses 6 through 10. Okay, so 3 through 5, if someone would read those verses, and then someone else verses 6 through 10 in that same chapter. Thank you, and then someone verses 6 through 10. Yeah, thank you. I'm not sure if this... Go ahead, good.
But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we have brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therefore with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some covet it after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
Okay, very good. Thank you. I'd like to give just a couple of comments of introduction and then ask for some participation. And just to set out sort of the structure of our approach to these verses and to the topics that are presented. There first is, you would notice in verse 5, that there are those that Timothy is interacting with who have supposed that godliness is gain, or that gain is godliness. Some translations have it that godliness is a means of gain. In other words, that by being appearing spiritual, they can become rich. Others have it that gain is godliness, that they suppose that if they have much possessions, that it must mean that they are thereby godly. But however way you put it, the point is that it's a wrong view of money, a wrong view of possessions, a wrong view of things. And so we want to talk about what's the right view of our money and our possessions to contrast with that wrong view. That's going to be our first part of discussion. And the second part will be the contentment aspect, which came out, as you see in verse 6, godliness with contentment is great gain. And we want to link those together, as obviously they are here. Two comments to sort of get us in that line. First of all, these thoughts do overlap. We'll try to sort of keep them in that structure of conversation, just for the sake of discussion. But they are certainly going to overlap. And if you look at verse 10, you would see the word "some" there. Some have strayed from the faith, as the New King James says. The word "some" is one of the key words in 1 Timothy. I think there are six times where the word "some" is used, and it means that there is an element of people, there is a group of people in Ephesus, where Timothy is serving the Lord, who have some mistaken view of things. And you can trace different errors through 1 Timothy by finding the word "some." I'd like to compare 1 Timothy 1. Just to notice this, a couple of the uses, we're not going to look at them all, but in this introductory thought, just think about this. 1 Timothy 1, verse 3, Paul says in the middle of that verse that he wanted Timothy to charge some that they teach no other doctrine than what he was going to discuss with him. And then near the end of chapter 1, 19, having faith in a good conscience, which some, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck. And these have overthrown themselves and others in their lack of emphasis on faith and a good conscience. you would think that these would be the major aspects of Timothy's service, to make sure that doctrine and accuracy would be upheld regarding what we usually think of in the category of doctrine. But the sum is also used, one of these errors, equal with the others in many ways, different in some ways, but equally significant, is the people who had the wrong view of their money. And this is very telling that this was also an error that Timothy had to deal with in Ephesus. Not let it go on. Not let it exist without addressing it. And it shows us that it's very important for us to have the right view of our money and our possessions too. So that's one introductory thought, just to show the emphasis, the importance of this particular topic. And then if you just turn back to First Chronicles, a phrase from David to present to us the right view of money. And then I'm going to ask you for some additional thoughts to support what is the right view of our money in the scriptures. 1 Chronicles 29, after David had not been allowed to build the temple, but he had been permitted to help gather materials for the temple. In 1 Chronicles 29, as he prays to the Lord, in verse 10 it says, before all the assembly, and it goes through the expressions of praise that he has there. In verse 14, he says, who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. That is to say that the view of our things is that we're just guarding them. We're just watching them for the Lord. And when it's time to let some of them go, we let some of them go because they're not ours anyway. We only had to give what we received from the Lord in the first place. That's true spiritually. But it's also true materially. And when we look at ourselves as stewards, managers, money managers for the Lord, some of us are managing a few pennies, and some of us are managing a few $1 million. Some of the people of the Lord are managing large sums of money. Some of us are managing very small sums. But when we view ourselves as money managers for the Lord, as David did, that gets us on the right track, I think, of how we want to look at our money. So with those introductory thoughts from 1 Timothy and from here in 1 Chronicles, I'd like to ask for your input here, and we can share together in this direction first of all. What are some of the right views of our money? Or we might get principles from those who had the wrong view of money and see the opposite.